boat, and they're just talking.
Here comes Ariel.
Even before,
all right, so
Ariel,
here we are,
there?
Worldwide Live through BBS Radio.
Thanks
for making it possible.
Ariel, are you there?
Ago,
yes, sir, I'm here.
Okay, good, we got Ariel, too.
We have somebody with a radio in the background or something. All right, so rock and roll.
Phone connection's cold.
Change jobs.
Let's see if we can mute this one.
Like that.
This one. All right. So I welcome all those people that are joining in through BBS Radio. Thank you for being here. And John from Las Vegas, welcome to the call. How are you, brother? Oh, did I mute you, John? Is that what it is? Is this you, John?
Gross. Yeah.
Okay, I need to mute that line. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, Robert in Glendora, California.
Hi, Robert. How are you doing?
Very good. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for being here. And more people have joined in. If you want to, please say your name and location.
This is Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, everybody.
Good evening to you, Don, and welcome to the call.
Thanks.
This is Terry in Dallas.
Hi, Terry from Dallas. Welcome back.
Thank you.
All right. And welcome to the next caller. Please say your name and location.
Yeah. Terry in Miami.
Oh. Is it from Miami?
Jerry.
Hi, Jerry. Welcome to the call.
Hi. Thank you.
Thank you for being here. And who else joined in? We welcome you. If you have a chance, please say your name and location.
Braden Knight, New Mexico.
Hello. Welcome back. How are you doing?
Thank you. And you, sir?
Just fantastic, man.
Wonderful.
And more lines have came in here. Welcome to the call. If you want to, please say your name and location. All right. I just noticed that our sister, Terry Brown, has a toothache. So, Don, I'll be happy it's just a cold. Nothing worse than toothaches, I would say. So, it doesn't say if she's going to be here or not. So, well, I'm going to keep my fingers crossed and hope she will be here.
Yeah.
All right.
She had a mouthful of gauze Monday.
Let's put her in the light.
Yeah.
Good idea.
Yes.
All right. These days, I'm baking the bacon in the oven.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. If we had two more people join in, welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Anna from Kent, Washington.
Hi, Anna. How are you?
I'm very good. Happy Valentine's Day, almost.
To you, too, and to everyone.
Thank you.
Joan, Newport, Rhode Island.
Hello, Joan. How are you doing?
All right. Nice to hear you.
All right. I'm glad to hear you again. All right.
Yeah, actually, sometimes I'm having some phone issues, so sometimes I don't announce myself. It's, you can tell where the number comes from, though, is it? Can't you?
Maybe so, yes, but I don't check all the numbers I put.
Well, just see if it is, because I feel bad, but like, sometimes I don't.
Don't forget. I'm just very glad to hear your voice, and I'm glad you're here.
Me too.
All right. We had somebody else join in. Oh, please say your name and location.
This is Chris in Scappoose, Oregon.
Hi, Chris. How are you doing?
Good. I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
All right. Thank you for being here. More people join in. If you want to, please say your name and location.
It's Brian in Ventura.
I hear Brian from Ventura, and I hear my sister Edna. Wir geht's? Guten Abend.
Oh, ganz gut, mein Bruder.
All right. All right, thank you all for being here. And if more people are joining in on BBS Radio, we cannot see you, we cannot hear you, but we welcome you and we're glad you're here. And at this point, it is 6:00 Pacific time, and Wynn is not here yet.
Good day.
Good evening. Hello. And welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
It's Wanda in Canada.
Wanda, welcome back.
Hello.
Thank you for being here. Somebody else came in right after you. Or welcome that person, and please say your name and location. But, of course, only if you want to.
Hi, Wanda.
Hello, Donna.
This is Marilyn in Pennsylvania.
Hey, Marilyn. Welcome to the call.
Hello, Marilyn.
Hi, there.
All right. All right, I see. I hear the helicopter in the distance. Wind is going to be down to the ground here soon.
Okay.
And good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, I'm Brenda. I live in Kentucky.
Hello, Brenda. I welcome you to the conference call. How are you?
Well, I'm doing fine tonight. A little cold, but I'm fine.
All right. I hope you keep warm.
Hello, Brenda.
Hi.
And we had more people join in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Melinda in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Hello, Melinda. Brian is here, FYI.
Oh, hi, Brian. I love you.
See you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
Hey, Chris in Memphis.
Hi, Chris. Welcome to the call.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, man. I'm glad you're here.
All right.
Hey, Chris.
Yeah.
You have now been sounding uplifted for three calls in a row.
Oh,
are you okay?
Wow. Holy shit.
All right, Wayne. I'm glad you're here, brother.
I'm doing some vibration raising stuff.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I think you've been keeping a high intent for a while. And you've been laying off some of the stuff that, you know,
yeah,
is the do it till you're sick of it stuff, you know.
Yeah. I got a little tired of getting totally freaked out, you know.
right.
Negative, you know, like you said, the negative love me, so I had to.
That's right.
All right. Hello, Jim.
Good evening. How did you know I was here?
I can just hear your breath in the background.
You hear me breathing heavily. I'm breathing heavily, that's why.
Hello, Jim.
Hello. Where's LR? I mean LW.
All right. And more people joined in here in the last minute. If you want the last chance, if you want to announce yourself, feel free to do so.
George,
from
California.
Hi, George. How are you doing?
All right.
All right. Thank you for being here.
Is Ariel here?
He is here to John his phone, to my understanding. Right, John? You know what? I think I muted John because I heard like a radio station.
I get better.
Let's see. I think this is John. I need to unmute, and I'm certain if this is John. John, is this your phone? Hi, John, Vegas.
Thanks,
Rob. John, do star 6.
I don't think he can do it when I mute him. John, is this your phone? No, I'm back muted.
It should be a 702 number. Okay, everybody, as you see, you walked up. Oh, there you are, John. Where were you?
Oh, I put the phone down a minute.
Uh-huh.
I was on my computer, and I had to just put it down for a few minutes. So it was making too much noise, and now it's quiet, though.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Did you touch base with Ariel, John?
Yeah, is Ariel there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay,
oh,
good.
Hey, Ariel.
Hi, everybody. This is Roger in Austin.
Hey, Roger. Welcome to the call.
Yep.
Hi, Ariel.
Yes.
with your headache. No,
how long ago was the picture of you taken, Ariel?
Ariel,
I couldn't hear you.
Picture? When was that picture of you taken?
What picture?
Of you and Sacagawea, the one that I put with the Sacagawea picture.
Oh. Yeah.
Mm. When we were in Los Angeles?
Did I take it in Los Angeles?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
Where's that? I'd like to see it.
Well, I'll look at today's email.
It's on today's web.
Somebody said that the website is down, Win.
Yeah, the website is down. Oh, okay. I meant to send that out on today's thing.
It's Ash Wednesday.
We might be being hacked, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no.
Because it's kind of strange. But let me not go into it.
The web's down lots of places today.
What's
oh,
that?
Is it?
The web has been down in lots of places today.
Whoa.
Lots of
people.
It's Mary Null.
Mary
Null? Yeah, my door.
Oh, the global reset's coming up.
They had problems in school.
Oh, they're in school. So I was going to say, it's just controversial websites, you know? But,
no, even the education, the school had problems all day.
I see. Not that
and
I have a controversial. Okay, do I have a controversial website?
No, I don't.
I try not to be.
Not to us, but maybe to others. Maybe to some other people.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves. All callers are unmuted.
Jerry, are you there?
I'm here.
Terry is here. Hello,
here.
Terry.
Hi.
How's your tooth?
Hi, Terry.
I hope you're well.
Hey,
how's your tooth?
Sore. Pretty sore.
Hi, Terry.
Hi.
You got some clove oil? Any clove oil?
Clove oil?
Yeah.
I don't think she's using clove oil, but it's she had an operation. You know, it was an operation. I don't know if she, but we tried blowing ozone into her mouth, and I know somebody told me to use ginger on a toothache, and I know that works. But
tea tree oil works too.
Is that Charmananda?
Yeah. Tea tree oil is really good for it.
Garlic.
Yeah.
Garlic.
You could put some oregano, but it kind of burns. But you mix it with some olive oil.
What was that?
Oregano. It kind of burns, but you mix it with some olive oil, and it's.
Oregano. Oregano.
Yeah.
You said oregano, right?
Okay. Yeah. Oregano. Yeah.
Okay.
The other thing is, if you have sores or something like that, or an infection in your mouth, and you're trying to get rid of it, you just suck on lemons.
All right. Well,
it's the stitches that he put in. I mean, he did a bone graft about 3 months ago, and it failed, and so he had to go to Plan B, and the stitches are really, really tight, so that if I hold my tongue,
the lemon will help that. The lemon will help that. Yeah, like that. Don't use any salt because that'll make you end up getting sores in your mouth and in your stitches. But if you use lemon won't hurt you. I know that because like I have had many procedures. I don't have any more teeth for years. I had my teeth smashed out of my face when I was 12 years old.
Mm.
And then I had dental surgery for many years. Best thing for a sore mouth is lemon.
2% at the grocery store and 3% on...
I had a skidoo accident on my mouth.
You had what?
Skidoo accident, and my teeth got all smashed out.
Snowmobile. Your warm climate.
Oh. had a swimming accident. I had a swimming accident, and it started a lot of what's wrong with my teeth.
Yeah.
Aren't we the greatest show in the world? We can spend 10 minutes talking about Terry's toothache. And
yeah.
Hello. Okay.
Otherwise, the other thing to do is eat turmeric.
Eat turmeric. I just got Terry some turmeric powder. Some turmeric
good,
seeds.
Good. You can put it in capsules and eat it.
No, that was chia seeds you said, right?
No. There was another, I didn't bring the other one in. It's still in the car. I have turmeric capsules, okay? And chia seeds. All right. Let's get down to the light, guys. Okay, we'll put her in the light. We'll go in the light. Now, we are, now Terry wasn't sure she wanted to channel tonight because it hurts
well,
her.
Well, what it is, I'm scared, I'm not taking painkillers or I'm taking antibiotics, but what I was thinking was if, the pain, if I move my mouth,
but we can try it and see how it goes.
Thanks, Mom.
What?
I said, thanks, Mom.
I'll give it a try.
Thanks, Mom. why don't I, some of these questions, I'll try to answer, okay? But let me start the recorder.
You know, Lynn's getting kind of psychic. We went out to dinner with a friend at the dentist, out in Mesa, and the waitress came up and he started. He said, "You have three children. You have a really good husband."
I'm not psychic. I'm just a good guesser.
This conference is being recorded.
Okay. It is February 11th, 7:13 p.m.
Armistice Day.
Ash Wednesday.
Armistice Day.
Oh, this is Armistice Day.
Yes.
Is it also Ash Wednesday? This isn't Ash Wednesday as well, is it?
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Also Ash Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, Matt Tuesdays.
All right. Did I change the date? I did. So February 11th, 2015. And you know what? Somebody, here, I'll go through some of these questions really quickly because it's kind of funny. Because Edna asked, Edna, are you there? We didn't mute everybody yet. Okay. I'll mute you all.
Yes, I'm here.
Edna? Okay.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
Okay. Let me try to ask some of these questions. And then when we really get tough on one, if Terry's there, we'll call him the light. But let me answer some of the ones that I can answer. You know, there's a bottom line question that is behind a lot of questions here, okay? And the bottom line question is, I want to know everything's going to be okay. I want to know everything's going to turn out okay. I want to know the future is perfect. I want to know everyone's going to graduate. And how come the Elohim let all this stuff happen? I mean, it's like, now, I have been kind of like in a university for the past 10 years, learning about how things work. And I'm not always right.
And I do a lot of research, not only just channeling and believing everything they say, but I, to the best of my ability, I look at what other people are saying. I look for other people who are channeling the Elohim. I'm kind of like trying to synthesize it all to come up with the very best overview of things. And I could still be wrong. And sometimes they're wrong. It's like, and sometimes, let me see if I can say this. Sometimes they don't know the whole truth about something for various reasons. Like I've observed somebody wants to know their past life, and they'll kind of just casually say something, and they don't go into it specifically. Sometimes they say something to make somebody think about it and to make them come up with it themselves. Because very rarely is there a logical answer that you can receive that's going to totally change your life. Because the world is not logical. The way it works is not linear. And what we want to do is somehow tap into the non-linearity. And you can't tap into the non-linearity by being logical. It's not a logical process. And you can try, you can ask the questions. And it's kind of like in Zen, they have something called a koan, K-O-A-N, where they have a mysterious saying that when you figure it out, you're supposed to be enlightened. Like, what is the sound of one hand clapping? That's a famous Zen saying. Or if a tree falls in the forest and no one is there to hear it, did it make any sound? Okay? Well, you can try to answer those things logically, but there's no answer. Even with Jesus, he talked in parables. Parables were not necessarily logical, but they transmitted something. And so if you can say, aha, over an answer, then that's a good sign, okay? That's like you had an energy flash, or you put together something on a higher level. And another thing that I have to be careful about is questions that directly relate to the negatives, particularly when we're channeling. Because when we're channeling, we are opening up a hologram. It's not just the voice that's coming through Terry. Terry becomes part of that energy of that. I become part of it. And many of you become part of it. Now we are in an energy hologram that expands through a certain portion of the universe. And we're expanded into the universe, and we want to ask a question about the negatives. In that, and we're in the expansion, and guess what? We can become visible to the negative. It's happened at least one time on the call, and we had to terminate the call. This was a couple of years ago. It's like Carla Rucker, they can channel, they can come through. I don't think they've come through, Terry. But, you know, Carla has said that they adopted the policy of only asking questions where the answer was true 10,000 years ago. So if it's a question about evolution, that will always be true, because everything evolves in somewhat of a similar way. If you ask a question about something that's transitory, then that could be a question that could take us out of the high realm and bring us into a lower realm. Now, I will sometimes ask those questions. The Ra group is part of this, and they have a better time answering them than the Elohim. But nonetheless, I have to pick and choose. And, you know, one of the reasons I would answer the question is that I think I can hold the hologram at a safer place than when we're opening up to the high source. But even with me answering certain questions, you got to figure that NSA is listening to us. And although it's probably too late, I'm probably on their list. We don't want to provoke them. We don't want to turn them into enemies. We don't want to expose them. There's enough people doing that. And I don't think that's my highest purpose. Although I will mention it. And I will say you guys should study it. You can do your own internet searches. I've said this before. Use startpage.com. Startpage, because it doesn't leave tracks. And just put anything in and put conspiracy next to it and see what comes up. Try it, okay? Look up GMO, conspiracy. Look up conspiracy. And you will find some interesting points of view. And as I've come to see it, that most of the things that are on the news or on the TV are not as they appear. And it's like it can be so far off from how it appears, it can blow your mind. It can, you know, when I started realizing this, it was blowing my mind, okay? So now, I'm going to answer some questions. And
Queen, Cleo. You said, ma'am.
Yeah. Edna.
Sorry, I was muted. I couldn't get off on.
Okay. You know, I was going to say, you know, your question is about being psychic, okay, and how to develop your psychic powers. And, of course, Terry said something like how I walked in and I told the waitress that she had three children. And sometimes I amaze myself. I mean, one time, I'm very good with waitresses, I think, in particular. One time, a waitress was serving us, and I said, "Your father's a policeman, isn't he?" And he was. And I can tell you, I don't try to be psychic. And I think that if you end up having psychic experiences, the best way to be psychic is to increase your sensitivity to the law of one. Increase your sensitivity to seeing everything as part of yourself. And that when you do that, you will start being psychic. But you're not really... You can use, there may be another word to describe instead of psychic, because what's happening is you are becoming one with the people around you, and suddenly their thoughts become your thoughts. And you don't, without trying, you start being inside them, so to speak. And then you can say something, and it comes like an intuitive flash. It's not like you're even trying or seeing. If I was trying, I would feel like I was infringing on somebody's privacy. And so things have to come naturally. Going into a neutral space, you're probably already psychic. But the problem in general with telling people you're psychic is that everyone then is going to say, well, what should I do now? What do you think of this? And you're very, it's a great temptation to go into a lower place and try to appease people by telling them things they want to hear. And particularly if you charge for it. Now, I'm not saying people shouldn't charge, but to do that, you have to develop extremely high positive intent and a lot of discernment about knowing what you should say and what you shouldn't, a lot of wisdom to know how to say things so someone else doesn't give up their power. And otherwise, know that things will come to you. But if you want things to come to you, you have to get into a neutral space. I know when I'm writing, I have to get into a neutral space. I have to tune into what you might call the collective consciousness. I have to tune into who I'm writing for. And sometimes I have to, like, sequester myself, get away from everybody. Because when I'm around people all the time, I start to feel their thoughts in myself, and I can't get into a creative space. So if you want to be tuned into people, tuned into things, you have to get into a totally neutral space. Now, I might ask your question and see what they say, but that's my answer. And the next question is from Cleo. Cleo, who created the reptilian race? I read something just a couple of days ago, and I think it might be true. This is a guy, if you look him up, you'll find he's fascinating. His name is Alex Collier, C-O-L-L-I-E-R. And Alex Collier was talking to the Andromedans, and I discovered him when I was first studying David Wilcock, and I was just trying to make heads or tails from what I was learning. And he was one of the people that came up. And he was one of the people that was talking about a dimensional shift and graduation. And I thought he was very passionate, and he was very highly intended. Alex Collier. And I just happened to end up on a YouTube with Alex Collier, I think it was yesterday, and he said that the reptilians came from another dimension, and the beings in that dimension, got rid of them by pushing them through a black hole into our dimension, so they didn't evolve in our dimension. That was millions and millions of years ago, okay? And what's that?
Ben, we're losing your voice.
No, it's your phone, Terry. When it's clear.
Terry, did you hear that? Hello, Terry.
Terry was cutting out while she was talking, so disregard, I guess.
Okay. All right. So that's how the reptilians got here. What's the difference between density and dimensions? I kind of use them fairly interchangeably. Although at the lower levels, a density, from the way the Ra group uses them, they talk about the second density being rocks, the third density being animal life. But I think dimensions, density, I'll tell you, the best way for me to understand, personally, density and dimensions is to use the word timelines, where time moves at different speeds. And as you go up through the densities, time moves faster. And as I get it, the higher density is actually thinner vibration. In other words, if you take ice, water, ice, and steam, you could say ice was the most dense of everything, and steam was the least dense. And as you're going through the densities, the higher you get, the more is like steam. And the lower you get, the more it's like ice. And time moves at different speeds. So when time is moving slowly, things are thicker. I mean, imagine the wind was blowing and there was dust in the wind. And the wind was moving really fast. There might be less dust. Now, that's excluding the factor that it's going to pick up more dust as it's blowing. But aside from that factor, all things being equal, given that there's a certain amount of dust in the air, if the wind is moving fast, the dust is moving fast through by you. If the wind is moving slowly, the dust is thicker and more dense. And if wind is like time, and time is moving faster, then there's less matter. Okay? Now, I'm making this up as I go along, so if it doesn't intuitively hit you, then don't hang on it. But I'm trying to figure out a way to intuitively feel how densities work. And that analogy of time helps me understand it, okay? Next question here is from let me see here. Okay. I never can say your name right. It's Josue Hosu. Hosu? Okay. Astral projection, what can we learn from it? Is it safe? Can it be done in a safe way? Well, we asked a question about astral projection a few weeks ago. And I think their general caution was, be careful, because it is possible to get knocked out of your body or meet some kind of negative being out there. And I think if you're going to do it, You should learn from people who are experts so they know how to create protection. You know, we all want phenomena, you know, whether it's psychic or astral projection. And I think as you grow
does
more
sensitive...
Does anybody
else have any trouble hearing, Gwen?
I can hear him fine.
Can you?
Oh, okay. Then something's wrong with my phone.
Yes, you don't sound clear, Terry, so it's your phone.
Yep. Okay. So in any case, if you have a total fascination to learn some kind of phenomena like astral projection or being psychic or doing Ouija boards or channeling, you should follow your inclination. But if you're just curious to see, like, can I have this power, I would be careful about that because it's not obvious how that can serve people. And doing channeling to try to get the right answers on a subject to benefit someone else, if you just start talking and the wisdom comes through you, then let that be enough because they'll get it. When you start looking for beings that are wiser than you, then you have to be really careful not to get a negative source, because negative sources can be wise, and they can be manipulative, and they don't necessarily have horns, and it's so subtle that you get tricked really easily. I would be tricked, believe me. If I didn't have to go through all the stuff that I went through, I would most definitely be tricked on this. And so I'm sharing with you guys the benefit of my experiences. I'm just going to give you, well, I don't think I want to turn anyone in. Well, okay, like on this idea of spinning, there's a very, no, I don't want to say it, okay? I don't want to say anybody specific. I'll just say in general, it seems like the negative uses spinning counterclockwise as a way to lock people's matrix into a lower level. But the thing is, from your physical body, it can seem like a higher level because you're having some kind of phenomena. You notice something, so you think it's good. But in fact, your energy is being siphoned out of this realm and being held in some holding place at a higher level from this realm, but a holding place that is controlled by the negative. And that's how we're going to spur a lot of questions.
Hey, Teddy, just hang up and call back in.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. So, let me go to the next thing. Okay, Lizia. We all constantly live in this world based on fear, hate, sadness, corruption, greed, poverty, etc. And yet many of us all over the world continue to raise the consciousness of this world to no avail. It seems that our efforts are doing very little to change things as wars and soul-robbing atrocities continue. Why? Well, you know, the Ra Group said through Carla Ruckert, if they reach one person, they're happy. And one time, I asked the Elohim. I mean, I had the idea that this was important and it could reach a lot of people and it could make a big difference. And I asked them, how am I supposed to put this out? And they said, talk to one person at a time. And I started doing that. And it, like, only is 10 years later, and we've barely made a scratch in the surface. And I say, my God, this is slow. But guess what? A scratch, once this comes in at this level, it changes. Maybe the world doesn't change right now, but it creates foundation for a change in some future time. And so that is viable. Nothing gets taken for granted in evolution. Anything real makes a dent. And if it wasn't for those of us who were doing that and holding the space for that, then we may as well just hand our planet over to the negative on a silver platter, or whatever kind of platter, and forget it, you know? And it can be so difficult down here that that thought probably crosses people's minds, and even on the higher sources, it crosses their minds. Like, that we go through gross repeating cycles. But you know what? The world goes through gross repeating cycles, and so do you and I. One of the things that I have observed about reincarnation, because I've had the experience of having quite a few people in my life that I had a great deal of certainty that who they were in a past life. And as I went to study their past life, I realized it was a past life and it was a past expression, but it was the same person. And even when they had past lives that were somewhat exalted or esteemed or spiritual, the underlying person still felt like they were the saints. So we go through gross repeating cycles. And if you want to be the most effective in the world, then you have to figure out your gross repeating cycles and switch them. And the problem is, this happens at such a deep level, it is not easy. And, but that's why we talk about self-observation all the time, in order to master your cycles, because it's your cycles that will keep you coming back. And let's see, is Terry there?
Yeah. I mean, you know, this might be better. You sound better on this now that I've called back a couple of times.
Oh, well, good. You see that? Highs overcame our gross repeating pattern. I mean, you know, hang on a second here. I wanted to do a little pitch for Ariel, okay? And some of you heard the talk we did a couple of weeks ago about Ariel. I guess it's about 2 months ago, actually, about Ariel. And I made the case that Ariel was the reincarnation of Sacagawea, and that she was repeating a lot of patterns this life, but she wasn't getting quite the notoriety that she got in that life. And I mean, she was picking food in the forest. She has all these skills of survival. And if you don't know who Sacagawea is, Sacagawea was the Native American woman who accompanied the Lewis and Clark expedition and actually single-handedly made that expedition successful. Because the chances are pretty good that if Sacagawea was not on that expedition, they would have all been dead, because there were Indian tribes that would have attacked them. And they went the other way when they saw this woman with a baby being lovingly treated by this crew. And so in this lifetime, in observing Ariel's patterns, because I've known her for 5 years, she is it's a very hard time staying in one place. And she has, like, this great, like, let's go. Are you there, Ariel? Let me hear. John, Star 6 Ariel, okay? Hello, John. Where are you? Hello, John. Wait a second.
Are you looking for...
He is. I have him over here. Hold on 1 second. John, can you hear us?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here.
Yeah, how come you're not more alert when I call for you?
I did. Yeah, I was muted. I was muted. How are you going to talk when you're muted?
He has teresia.
Terry's becoming your mentor. All you got to do is star 6, and you unmute, okay?
Oh, okay, okay. 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 Right. Okay.
But in any case... So, Ariel has been paying attention to our calls for 5 years, and in fact, she has a little tape recorder that's probably got 50 of our calls on it, and she uses that to ground her. And when she's in truck stops or when she's wherever, okay. And a couple of months ago, it looked like Ariel was at her back against the wall. She was in a totally impossible situation, living in an RV, living in a trailer on somebody's property that she was paying them rent to put the trailer there. And they wouldn't let her use the house, the kitchen, the bathroom, and she had no electricity or water. And the woman who was running into her put a fence around her RV. And so, essentially, she was a prisoner. And I went there. I mean, this was like a 200-mile drive. And I said, okay, let's see if I can help her find a place to live. And kind of rescued her from that situation. And we found a little RV park in this crazy town named Chloride, which is an old mining town that used to be bigger. Now it's like it's got 250 people in it, with partially a ghost town, but it was kind of like safe and secluded, and it was very cheap to live there in the RV park. And so she's living there now. And one of the things she's doing is she's waiting for a Social Security settlement, which might happen next month, and it will give her a little foundation to get her feet on the ground in some solid way, if that's possible. But so she has to come up with her next month's rent. And so I put a little donation button at the bottom of today's email. And if everyone on the call sent her $3, she'd come up with it, okay? And I've been helping her. Other people have been helping her. You know, she's not completely together. She's releasing a lot of old patterns. And Ariel, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, now I want you to talk to everybody and make yourself worthy of receiving. You got to do a really good job, a really good job, because otherwise there's 30 people out there thinking, geez, how come Wynn doesn't do that for me? So this is a difficult thing to do a fundraising for somebody, and I would do it for other people. And I have done it in the past. It's just in Ariel's case, I've known her. She listens to our calls all the time. She's trying to clear herself of some old patterns, and that's why I'm doing it. And what would you like to say on your behalf, Ariel?
Well, first I want to thank Wynn and Terry, but I want to thank the doctor that I got to see about a week and a half ago, because I've had these excruciating headaches for a very long time, since I had my fall in 2009. And I want to thank that doctor, because when I was really thinking I kind of was really losing it, but when he told me my brain was bruised, and that the thing that was the good part was when you're hurt, your body seems to compensate a bit. And so I was using my right brain and etching glass and striving to be creative. But what I want to say to everyone is gratitude is pretty much my path. Since October 19th, 2002, I met a Shoshone man, and he told me, I want you to go out and serve the people. Well, when I started living with the Cheyenne people, my whole goal was to meet my father. But that goal had to be put aside because my auntie needed help, and she was in, no one would take care of her. So I moved in with her in the Cheyenne Nation, and I lived with her for about 5 or 6 months, and it took us that long to clean her house. Her house was full of bugs and alcohol and all kinds of things, but I had the opportunity to be taught a lot of traditions from the Cheyenne, and I was taught humbleness, but I was taught to take care of other people. And we finally got her into a nursing home because I couldn't get the... One of the things that's on the nations is a lot of drugs and alcohol. And most importantly, crystal meth is there, but they can't even have anything over the counter because what happens is they go and make something out of it. It's like one time I was seeing this person and he said, I quit spray painting my face. And I said, you did? And he goes, yeah, now I'm going to be totally well. And I said, yep. And he had gold on his face. And I said, well, what color are you today? And he said, I'm gold. And I said, yeah, I can see that. But the traditions out there are the people in Montana are still living traditionally. And they live very, very frugally. So as I went out each and every year, and I went out for 8 years, I was on my backpack, I did service. and I helped people, and I had to learn to be very gracious in situations where, like Wynn was talking about just a minute ago, I was babysitting and taking care of kids and adults, and I wasn't paying attention to what was going on. Because I was so adamant about going to my AA meetings that I was just focused on going and keeping my life clear. And so, like, when we had the opportunity to go to California and Wynn showed me those pictures, I was pretty much surprised, but not surprised in a way, because people had called me Sacagawea, and I've lived in the mountains. I actually live better with the creatures of the mountain than the two-leggeds on the street. But I just wanted to say that I know that a lot of people out there need help like I do. But I want to stand up for one thing that I have stood up for, is that in 2009, the reason this accident happened is Oren, a friend of mine, and I went on a trip. And in that trip, something bad happened, and I can't really go into it, but he took me to Angel Valley, and that's where I went and started fasting. And I put my Cheyenne blanket on the lodge that we felt that it was, something was wrong in that forest, and we went over and talked to the people at Angel Valley, but that isn't the case. The case is that traditional people are very humble, and I was put on a mission of $20 a day, a nice tea, a cup of coffee, and a meal, and on a backpack when I'd never, ever camped out. Now I live very, very happily in a forest, and this is the first time that I've had electricity in a, I don't know when. I have solar panels, so I haven't felt very, very blessed to have a bath and a shower, and I live on the food banks, but I felt very blessed that Wynn would take the moment to come. And actually, I was surprised about the research of finding out about Sacagawea, but I really wasn't. I've lived up in the Royal Tetons for many, many, many years, and up in the Dowells, but I've been on 72 buses, and one of the things that my auntie had to do every time I went to the Butte and got started, Viola would steal all my bags and give me two bags only, just enough to get me through the, and then I would come back and report to her because she was the grandmother of that, of the Cheyenne Nation. Unfortunately, the year before I was supposed to get my heritage, she died. So I've kind of felt like all that work that I had done was wrong, but it wasn't wrong, because when I was up on the Sacagawea, which is, or up on She Who Watches, that is where I gained a lot of knowledge of and wisdom from a stone called She Who Watches. And I saw a lot of things that I wanted to share with people, but basically I learned to live outdoors, and I learned outdoor skills, and it's kind of hard to tell a person your life when you're kayaking down the Columbia River and you're seeing things that have not been seen for thousands and thousands of years. But I did do the reenactment of Sacagawea. And after that, I just followed my spirit. And a lot of Winfrey's writings are about following his spirit. And I followed my spirit, but my spirit stood strong for the Christ consciousness, very strong. And I didn't know really how to protect myself except to get in the trees and the water, because the earth protected me, and I felt that that was the strongest thing, and that was the Elohim. And I had a really strong, strong relationship doing some strong work for the Elohim in a place called Loman, Idaho. I stayed down there for 8 months, and I found some ancient, ancient things there that the Elohim was really with me, that, and Winfrey and Terry Brown really stayed with me in, as I went. But it was really wonderful to find out that when I had that fall in 2009, that I wasn't losing my brain, that my brain was bruised. But your brain connects with your feet and your hands and your mind. But even though I can't feel my legs in that, I still walk because I have a big heart. I have a Christ's heart. And I have a strong relationship with the Elohim and the Rata people. And I may be clearing off some old patterns, but what I feel strongly about is I'm holding light for a planet called Mother Earth, because I'm an Earth mother. And I love all these people on the streets and anybody that I can help. I always strive to help them. But you know, it's hard when you have to ask yourself to receive. Because I believe in the Great Spirit. I believe in the two-legged, the winged ones, and the creepy crawlers. I believe in them, but not many people can walk up to an otter and talk to it, but I can. And not many people can sit out in the forest with a deer and tell the deer to come to you, but I can. And I've done it. And so it's really hard to have this transition to being around electricity, because electricity carries a different kind of vibration. The water doesn't, and the trees don't. But I know, and whether I graduate in the good way or the bad way, I'm going to graduate with the peace and the harmony and the grace that I did everything I could for God and Jesus and my Heavenly Father. Because I have helped a lot of people, but mostly I learned from my elders to respect the earth, and that's, I don't know what else to say except peace be unto all of us who love Jesus Christ, like I love Jesus Christ. And I try to be nice to my fellow man when they're really cruel to me, but I'm not a prisoner. I didn't realize that what was going on when wind came until we left. And that's when it came clear to me through spirit. But I just want to thank everybody for being on the phone line, because I think everybody needs this phone line. I talked to a lady today that doesn't miss them, and I have fought for my phone, even through my relationship with my husband, and I can only bless that he is safe, loved, and protected, because I hope he learned something on these phone lines, and that was to love our fellow man, the golden rule. That's all I got.
Okay. Thank you so much, Ariel. And you know what? You have a great spirit in you. And sooner or later, your life is going to turn where you can help people from your power and your strength and your connection to spirit. You've already done it, but you're going to do it in a bigger way. And so
I'd like to have a homeless place for homeless people.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to have a community center where we could have a garden and all grow.
If we ever set that up, you would be a great person to be there, okay? It'd be a great idea to set that up.
I would like to start a house for misfits that are really strong people.
Yeah. You know what? We were going to the supermarket yesterday, and there were these two guys sitting out in front with their backpacks. And they were not like the normal kind of people hanging out. I could feel it right away. I knew they were raw wanderers.
Yeah.
And I talked to them, and I gave them our cards. I was going to give them both the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, but I didn't have it in the car. But when I told them that, they go down, they travel around and sell gems and stuff at different swap meets and trip and quartzite and whatever. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, a lot of the people that look indigent, sometimes they're that way by choice because it's the only way they can stay out of the matrix. And I'm not so sure it's not a better choice than getting into the matrix and trying to earn a living and having a lot of expenses and enough to meet. I know that there's a period of my life where I lived that way, and it was the highest time I ever experienced, where I was having miracles all the time. So in any case,
that's what happened with me when I would go home to my aunties and they would say, "Where were you this year, Ariel?" I say, "I got to swim with the orcas and the whales this year." They couldn't believe it. Mm-hmm. They didn't never leave the reservation. They only traveled 35 miles in their whole life. They never went anywhere. So they lived through me.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so there's a little click me button on the bottom of today's email. And if anyone can't figure that out, you can call Jim or Terry and say, "I want to make a donation to Ariel." And
to help her get through this particular moment in time. And this is a chance to reach out your own compassion and put it into action for someone that's worthy of the support. And on that note, we didn't bring in the Elohim today. Okay. By the way, to call Jim or Terry, it's 805-267-9263. 805-267-9263, or just email me and I'll send you the phone number. Okay? And even little bits. There's enough people that if everyone sent $3, Ariel would be in seventh heaven. And thank you for having the courage to talk, Ariel. And you know what? You're really a great speaker. You know that? You really are. You have
I can speak
potential.
Any languages too, you know, Wynn.
Yeah. So on that note,
wouldn't it be nice to do flint napping, showing how to make flint napping tools?
Well, for
I would love to
teach. Want to know it, yeah. Okay. So, Terry, are you there? Hello, Terry. Hello, Terry. Okay.
Press star 6.
Well, she comes in as a moderator, so she's usually not muted, unless she muted herself. But we're giving her the night off. I thank you for putting up with me answering the questions, and feel free to submit them again.
Hello?
Are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, good. Were you muted?
I wanted to thank the people that have made donations. There's been 5 people already that have made donations.
Uh-huh.
I wanted to thank you.
You mean for Ariel?
Yes.
Oh,
okay.
Thank you so much. Oh, God.
All right. Okay. So, I'm going to unmute everybody, and feel free to ask your question again if I didn't really suffice on the answer tonight, okay? And thank you all.
All callers are unmuted.
Thank you.
Everybody.
Thank you, and bless you, Ariel.
Good night.
Thank you, guys.
Happy Valentine's Day, everyone.
Thank you.
Oh, that was really cool, you guys.
Is she under it?